I'm very familiar with that hair. I worked with her for years.
Oh, okay, excellent. You were very good. You just noticed from the hair. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying his hair, and I was like, he's wearing a hat. And I was like,
it's not too much up here.
And I'm like, everyone knows her hair. Come on.
Yeah. But we're not just here to talk about Elvira's hair, though we could. That would be an interesting interview. Listen, I'm Nasty Neil, and this is Without Your Head, the Station of Decapitation. And I'm joined by the fine fellows of the Hive, writer and director Jared Allman.
Hello.
Hello. And producer and star Timothy Hogg. Hello.
Hey.
And hope I pronounced the last name correctly.
No.
I should have asked beforehand, but we started talking about hair, and I was pan lights and
Haug.
Haug. I'll edit that, and I'll look very smart in post. Yeah. So can you guys give people an idea of what the Hive is if they've not seen it yet? We'll start with Jared.
Oh, okay. The Hive is a movie about a couple that's kind of on the rocks who decide to go out one night and hopefully spice things up. But they go out, things don't go as planned. And when they get home, things go even further down when they find two people in their house waiting there for them.
And I like, you don't want to give too much away because it's a really interesting movie and it goes down, you set it up there, but there's a lot more to it. And I should have mentioned that it comes out October 27th on Video On Demand. Is there anything that inspired the story, Jared?
Yeah. One of the main things that I keep saying is the practicality of it. Tim and I wanted to create something that we could produce ourselves. So that meant to us keeping it to one location. And we decided on house as a location, which meant we wanted to surround it around a family and then even more specifically a couple. So once we boiled everything down to that, we decided to go kind of into a relationship drama. But then, we wanted to spice that up. So we came up with the home intrusion angle and then everything else that transpires from there. That I don't want to spoil too much of it, but yeah.
Now, Jared just mentioned that him and Tim. So, how early on were you involved, Tim?
Basically, the beginning. From the beginning, Jared and I, we wanted to work together. We've worked together before. He cast me in a movie a few years back that he directed. But we wanted to work together. We wanted to make something happen. And I don't know, the time was right. And he had some ideas. I had some ideas. And we stuck with his idea. And then we did whatever we could to make that happen. And that's what came to fruition.
So the character is written for you then?
Yes, the character was written for me. All the characters were written for someone in Jared's mind that he has already worked with, except for Penny. So basically, by the time he was done writing it, everyone was cast except for Penny. And then we had to cast her together.
Yeah, I was very lucky to where I had written it, as Tim said, with people in mind and not even knowing if they would agree to do this, And I was very lucky to get everyone on board that I had in mind. So well, that was great.
I like that some people are credited as strange man and strange woman, and then you were specifically had them in mind. I'd like to know what went through their mind when you're like, hey, I wrote these two strange people specifically for you.
Yeah, I mean, we did have a laugh both times I asked both people, oh, you wrote a strange, weird person for me? Great. But no, they get it. Miles Tabor, who plays the strange man, I've worked with him multiple times before, and he's just great. And he understands nuances with characters like that. And he knows that he has strength in that stuff. So I think that's an easy sell to him. And Julianne Ruck, she's also very great and nuanced with her character. So they just like to work and play. So it's not insulting to to give them a role like that. I think they have fun with it, or I know they have fun with it. Yeah.
So what was it like to find the right Penny then, since that was one character you didn't have in mind?
It was kind of a very quick process, but still very intense because of how fast it had to be. We kind of did all of this very quickly from pre-production to production. So, Tim and I really wanted to get someone that felt like they were a young mother, but at the same time, you know, could be an aspiring actress, because you come to find that out in the story. We did a bunch of auditioning, and we both felt pretty strongly that Christy Griffin was right for this part, and you know, we were right.
You never worked with her, but Tim, had you worked with Christy before?
No, we had no idea who she was until the casting process, and but like Jared said, we want someone very homey, could be a young mother, realistic enough to, you know, have a kid or two, and then also that could be that actress. So she needed to hit a lot of points, and there were a lot of different looks and people that we auditioned, but I don't know, she has this genuine homey feel, which is a good thing. And also could go to that actress realm. I want to be an actress.
Yeah. This might be a silly question or a weird question, Tim. I don't know. But so you and Christy, your acting in the movie has to be realistic for the movie. And I'm not going to give much away. And everyone else is everything's off. Does that ever wear off, though? Because you work with people who are acting a certain way. Does that ever, like, in the moment, do you start to act like, oh, wait a minute, I'm starting to act like, you know, like they're supposed to be acting?
No, honestly, the first day I got on set and I started interacting with the people that, you know, Miles and Julianne, who play the strange man and the strange woman, it just felt good because they did a really good job. And that's when I knew, like, oh, this is the real deal. Did it make me, you know, smile at some points or feel a certain way? Because they did a great job. And
oh, definitely.
And I don't know. For me, I think it actually made it easier because they did such a good job to stay it. In that, and to try to make the realization of what's going on in this world, I think it would have been worse if they weren't so good. I probably would have been harder to, you know, stay in the moment.
I was just gonna say, Tim had been there since the inception, you know, so I think in his head. I know because we've talked about it in his head. He knew that there's going to be this strong juxtaposition between the way these people were behaving and the way that he had to behave. So I think he was prepared in such a way where, like, yeah, come at me super weird, because it's just going to make that dynamic, you know, more pronounced, that weird dichotomy between the two. It'll make it more pronounced.
I think the harder part of this movie is the relationship between Penny and Albie. I think that's the harder part, because if you really dissect this movie as a whole, dissect anything in it, and it's about the relationship. You can relate anything to the relationship if you really think deep down about everything that goes on. So that was more of a, like, hey, we got to get this right.
Well, yeah, the movie itself, it comes down to if they can work together as partners, things, you know, would probably go better for them in the long run.
Well, where are they at when the movie starts? That's the question. Where are they at? And how is this realistic? So realistically, they haven't been good for a long time. And there's just that little glimmer, you know, like once in a moment, they have this little glimmer of hope. Like, you could write this movie and I could be the actress in it, you know, like this little glimmer of hope that maybe things will get better, but it's been going on for a long time.
You said you wanted someone who kind of felt like homey, so like you're, you know, like a realistic couple and everything. And I really love the score at the beginning because it seems almost like a 50s sci-fi a little bit, but not over the top, where it's not like a parody of a 50s, you know what I mean? But it's got that just weird sound to it, like something is off. And I thought that really added right away. I was like, oh, there's something weird going on here. Plus the neighbor's kind of strange.
Yeah. The score, I felt really had to play a huge part because just like you said, you don't want to send it this thing too far over the top. And if you're watching this movie without the score, which a lot of, you know, obviously I had to do a lot, you definitely feel like you need something to kind of give it that little push into the weird realm. But at the same time, like you want it to be a little bit subconscious, right? You want it to be like, there's something weird going on here. And I think I did a lot of that with the score. So I'm glad you picked up.
Cause I think if you go too far, it seems like, oh, it's like a, you know, like a parody of
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Were you like hands on then on the score?
Oh yeah. So first and foremost, you know, I'm a musician. I've been a musician pretty much all my life. So yeah, I worked with one of my really good friends and developed the sound for the movie. It wasn't originally planned that way, but again, you know, doing indie stuff, we had to work with what we had. And, you know, I've scored shorts and stuff like that before, so I had no problem jumping in and doing this. It just meant adding a little bit more time to post.
I like this. There's a little like a line about not resistance will be futile, but there was something about this will be futile. And that was a nice little nod to the Borg. I thought there's little things like that in the movie that I like.
Oh, totally. I'm glad you picked up on that. Yeah. As I've been saying, I'm a huge Star Trek Next Generation fan. So I had to get something in there.
Yeah. And it worked. Even the name, the movie is worked. And I like that there's, you know, social commentary in the movie, but it's kind of more towards the end, and that's also not, you know, hitting. It's not super obvious, and I think that's classic sci-fi too, is having social commentary within, you know, a genre film or genre story.
Totally, yeah. Anyone can see watching this movie that it's about working together and. If you don't work together, what could be the consequences? And you see that in this within the couple, but when you get to the bigger story at the end, he kind of makes a hint and, you know, what that could mean for the world also. So,
Jared, what was it like filming like the scenes of things that are in your mind? You know, little like cutaways. And Tim, I guess actually, you know. Going through the motions.
Tim, you want to go first?
I just thought it was interesting the feedback that we got for those. Like what people thought that was, because a lot of people thought it was deeper than what the eye can see.
That's true. Yeah, you know, when I first saw them, I didn't know if that's what's actually happening in another area or, you know, that's interesting that people take a different way.
Yeah, for me, it was basically showing kind of if you were, we'll just say if you were a higher life form or some sort of alien or something like that, and you were able to peek with your higher brain, if you were able to peek into a human's brain, what they were thinking at that very moment, what would it look like, you know? So that's kind of how I went into that. As far as filming it, we just wanted to make it as surreal as possible, but also kind of keeping within the bounds of kind of recognizing what's happening. So,
Tim, you mentioned what other people, you know, thought that meant. So have you guys watched it with an audience? Did it do festivals or anything like that?
No, we wanted to go straight out and not do a festival run. But it's because we had a couple people close to us watch it, And we, you know, now like you, we're also having other people and, well, just people that are fans of sci-fi and probing and stuff like that. That's where the question marks come. Like, ooh, that made me think for a second.
And are you guys planning on working on anything in the future together? Was this a good,
sure, yeah,
good working partnership?
Yeah, I think Tim may have mentioned it before. We started out working together on my student film. And then just from there, we worked on little things together. I think, you know, it's just one of those partnerships where, you know, we have that kind of shorthand and we know how the other person works fairly well. And one thing about Tim that I admire is that he's it sounds cliche, but he's really a go-getter. And that's the type of person you need in this industry. Not someone that's going to kind of sit idle and think or hope for things to come at them. Tim really goes out and gets it. So yeah, we've been talking about the next thing, even possibly expanding on this universe. So
no, interesting. Tim, do you consider yourself a producer, actor, or are they both kind of the same thing? Is that part of just creating stories?
I was an actor who was forced to be a producer, filmmaker.
at gunpoint.
Oh, hi. I would say that... I would say it like this. I'm an actor who was forced to be a filmmaker, producer because of the trajectory of my career. And so... I mean, I've gotten a lot of independent stuff that I've worked on, but I've also went out for a lot of things that were very big projects that a lot of name actors have gotten. And I just think that I got so tired of losing parts to name actors that it forced me to be a producer, forced me to want to be a filmmaker. And you just kind of realize that if you want to continue that trajectory, you might have to, you know, make some power moves. And for me, this was a power move. I don't want to say specifically, but like, for example, like big movies that have come out, like The Woman King, for a lead role in that, I auditioned for, The Boys TV series, a lead role in that. So like a lot of these roles, and then you see the people that get them, you're like, all right, nah, I'm going to have to take responsibility for myself and make something happen. And so that kind of pushed me to do that. And before this movie, I had done another movie, which Jared did the score for that. And that was kind of my first step. Like, okay, I've learned a lot on set acting because, you know, I'm listening, paying attention to everything that's going on. I can do this. And so I did that project. Learned tons of lessons, and I was like, okay, now that I did that, you know, we're gonna make a feature, and features, you know, where you want to end up, right? Because those are the big projects that everyone can, hopefully everyone will see. And so this was kind of on our own terms. It's what he wanted, it's what I wanted, and we were able to just go full blast with no one telling us what to do or how to do it. And so, yeah, I would say this is a power move for the trajectory of my career.
Well, I really like the movie. I don't give too much away. There's a very cool effects later in the movie. I don't was that done by anyone you worked with before?
Yeah, so that was done by a gal named Brittany. I've kind of worked with her in a way, but... I will just say I knew of her work really well, and we kind of operate in the same circle. So yeah, Brittany came out and did an amazing job with those effects. Yeah.
And where can you look like on social media or wherever to see where the movie, you know, comes out? I guess it's going to be available everywhere on video on demand.
Well, it's going to be available on Vudu, Amazon, Comcast, Cox, Vubiquity. You can go to The Hive Movie on Instagram. You can go to the @The Hive Movie on TikTok. We started posting on there, so we're gonna post everything that's happening, and yeah, it'll be out tomorrow.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys for doing this.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, Neil. And I didn't have a seizure.
All right, excellent. It's good to hear. I'm glad. I didn't even realize you were there at first when I heard talking and you were talking about that. I thought it was either Tim or Jared, but I couldn't see their mouth moving. And then when you said that all the things we went through, I was like, oh, it must not be
Neil. Or about that.
But
you held my calf in London. Did that?
Whoa! Don't get too. You know.
Hey, what's it that? Did that mean nothing to you?
All right, we better get out of here. We don't want to people to know too much what's happening. All right, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Feel the silence in your mind. Everything you keep inside to run away. You try again. There's something behind the rainbow. When it's time to pay the price, then the world is just a lie. To trust again, you'll smile again. Then close your eyes and dream on. Promise left behind. Move the hands over your eyes. You're crying again. You fight again. And driving miles away. And feel the winter in your mind. Call like songs to say goodbye. It's hard to break, too hard to change. Another life to rise and another life to rise and fall. Whoa. Smile again, it's time to change. Another life to rise and fall. With your voice you saved my name, but I was too far away to try to stay, to change my ways and leave a life of days gone. Just a song to dry your tears, lullaby for broken dreams. It's hard to breathe, too hard to change another life.